This is the Mike Lupica Podcast.
This podcast is great because your enthusiasms, it's why we've all been reading you for so long. This is a great vehicle for you to actually get to, in a long-form way, explore those enthusiasms, sometimes with the perspective of an additional 10 or 20 years.
Thanks for doing this today, pal.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. Thanks for having
me. Fun of this is I just talk to guys that I want to talk to.
That's what, to me, is such a blast about listening to your show.
First of all, the first time I ever saw Bernie on television, I started to talk like him as I was watching him.
Can you imagine the great Michael Jordan saying, hey, you know what? We can't beat the Pistons. Let me go join them. The essence of sports is about competition.
In-your-face questions.
How much of a dope is he?
Compelling.
A $1 billion industry, the biggest we've ever had in sports in this country, often comes down to a flip of the coin.
This is the Mike Lupica Podcast. Here's Mike Lupica. Mike Lupica.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on the Mike Lupica Podcast. Today, we are thrilled to be joined by an old friend of mine and one of the great sports columnists for a long time in America at the Boston Globe. He is so in tune with the sports world, and especially in Boston, where, you know, if you follow sports, you know, nothing ever happens like last weekend with Antonio Brown and Dave Dombrowski being fired. It's great, Dan Shaughnessy. Before we get started with my friend Dan, I want to tell you about our new sponsor, Keeps. You ever hear a guy say he's not afraid of anything except maybe losing his hair? Well, then, if you're in that boat, you got to sign up for Keeps. If you don't know, Keeps is the best way to treat hair loss. The process is simple. First, you or your doctor choose the right treatment plan, which is FDA approved, by the way. Next, you set up your Keeps treatment to arrive at your home, which is half the cost at your local pharmacy, and you don't have to stand in line. Keeps arrives at your door like clockwork every 3 months. Lastly, you stay in control by easily tracking the progress on how you are keeping your hair. You can adjust or cancel your plan at any time. It's important to know that prevention is key, and that Keeps is a 90% effective at reducing and stopping further hair loss. The sooner you start, the more hair you save. Also, many men are starting to regrow their hair with Keeps. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/lupica to receive your first month of treatment for free. With their online quote doctor visit, you answer simple questions to get the exact right treatment for you. They'll have you send them pictures so you know exactly what they plan to put you on. It's that easy. It's all done online from your home. That's keeps.com/Lupica. Welcome back to the Mike Lupica Podcast. And this is, I don't know why it's taken me so long to get Dan Shaughnessy, one of the great sports columnists in America. We've been in the business almost as long as each other. I think I might have predated him slightly. He comes out of Holy Cross. It just shows that a Boston College man and a Holy Cross man can live in peace. He is in the writer's wing of the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York. He has been Massachusetts Sports Writer of the Year 13 times. Nothing is ever going on in Boston sports. You can see that right now. Good morning, Mr. Shaughnessy.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Well, I'm fine, Danny. I was going to start with the Patriots and Antonio Brown because you wrote a terrific column about him the other day, but we must reflect on the news of late Sunday night a few days ago when the Red Sox fired Dave Dombrowski less than a year after they won a World Series. And Dan, you wrote a column, I don't know the exact date, about a month ago.
Yes.
And you said that this guy was in big trouble, and you have been noting ever since that there was absolutely no pushback on that item from the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, you know how it works, Mike, which is if we put one of those things out there, you know, we're kind of rolling the dice. It's what I thought was going to happen. I didn't have anything solid on it to say he's gone, but I said I'd be shocked if he were here next year. Here's why. And then there was a month of silence from up top. And, you know, I think Dombrowski, that bothered him. He wanted some clarification. He was getting asked about it everywhere he went. It became sort of a new narrative around Fenway, and the team kept, you know, doing worse and worse and not contending for this year. And my guess is he demanded some clarity because the timing of this thing, I mean, who fires a GM after midnight, a Yankee Sunday night game when the Pats are playing down in Foxborough? And I think that they knew it was coming out, and so they just tried to get ahead of it in a kind of a sloppy way. But my guess is that Dave forced the issue and was demanding some sort of clarity, and then he got it.
Dan, here's what we know about John Henry after his stewardship with the Boston Red Sox. He is not afraid of change, and he is not afraid to tear things down. I'm not saying this is a teardown, but I believe in the championship run that began in 2004, they've had two team presidents, Larry Lucchino and Sam Kennedy. They've had multiple general managers. They have had multiple managers. And, you know, looking at this from a New York point of view, we always talk about the stability now of the New York Yankees after all the instability of the Steinbrenner years, except that whatever this plan is, and he may be making it up as it goes along, they have won four World Series in the last 15 years.
Right. They sort of they do go year to year a little bit here. It's a little bit like the old Steinbrenner days here. And that everything you said where, yeah, most championships in this century, yes, it's Boston Red Sox. They have four. But you also, yeah, Theo won two and then basically asked to be traded. He got out of here. He,
right,
he wanted to get out
right.
of here in 11. He got his wish. He was gone. Charrington won a championship in 13, and he was, you know, completely stabbed in the back in the middle of the 15 season with no warning that we're bringing in Dombrowski over you. And then Dombrowski, as you say, less than 11 months after winning the World Series, 119-game historic season, he's fired on a Sunday night. So you have that. You do have four managers, you know, Francona, Bobby Valentine, Farrell, and now Alex Cora. And Larry Lucchino was effectively fired, even though he was a, you know, a partner in the organization. He was made to go away and did go away. So the constants are, you know, John and wingman Tom Werner. Who's, you know, something of a buffoon for the most part, I think. But John, you know, makes all the decisions. And John, like a lot of big-moneyed guys and successful business guys, he needs someone to blame. And it's not going to be John Henry. So I think that the signings of Sale, Price, and Eovaldi, I mean, that straps him at $75 to $80 million a year for each of the next 3 years. And they all have bad arms. And it hamstrings the possibilities. I think that was kind of the death knell for Dave, that the owner really didn't like that. And obviously, when you have the highest payroll in baseball, you'd like to be one of the 10 teams that's in the tournament.
Hey, Dan, when you look at, you just listed some of the what we assume are the obvious grievances from Henry with Dave Dombrowski. But it's this has been such an odd season. And you know, I grew up in New Hampshire and have followed the Red Sox my whole life, okay? And I've joked all year, okay, even especially when they get off to the bad start, don't worry, their pitchers are going to be rested for October, you know, because it was a joke, because they were clearly not ready to start the season and dug themselves a hole on that first West Coast trip, Dan, that in all the important ways, they never dug themselves out of.
Correct. And in Florida, you know, there was quite a bit of arrogance down there, and there was this notion, we're going to save bullets for October, and no one really did a normal spring training except for Eduardo Rodriguez, who has won 17 games. But the others, it was two starts at most for the other, the big-name four guys with all the money, all the Cy Young Awards, all the stuff.
The best backfield rotation in baseball,
right,
in spring training.
I had guys like Jim Palmer, Jim Kotz, and what are they doing, you know? And then, yeah. You know, so what happened was at the start of the season, they were basically making their third and fourth spring training starts during the season. And they start off 6-13, and the old expression is, you can't win it in April, but you can lose it. And it did feel a little bit like that. They never got out of that. And everybody ended up with bad arms. And Dombrowski had been handing out contract extensions like Halloween candy. And, you know, Steve Pierce got one. Eovaldi got $68 million for one great game against the Dodgers. I mean, it was a little, and in Sale, they were bidding against themselves, and they gave him $145 million for 5 years, starting next year. And he's 6-11 and on the shelf for the last year. Might need Tommy John. We don't know.
Dan, when you look at Dave Dombrowski, I mean, I've always gotten along fine with him,
yeah,
in Detroit and here. And throughout the season, when I was doing an MLB column, if I reached out to him, he always got back,
yes,
to me. He's quite, you know, to me, he's always been a baseball gent. But when you look at his body of work, and again, and I wrote this more than once, I'm sure you did too, everything he did last year worked out. I mean, the closest thing to a non-starter with all the big moves he made was Ian Kinsler, okay, who made an error that probably cost him a sweep in the World Series. But everything he touched turned to gold. But if there has been one fatal flaw with Dombrowski across his general manager career, it's bullpens. And this to me, if there's one thing apart from the money, okay, because as Red Smith used to say about owners, you're never going to see one ride a bicycle, okay? It's the bullpen. And whatever you thought of Kimbrel and Kelly by the end, Dan, they gave him a lot of innings last year. And those innings still, to this day, have never been replaced.
Well, they, you know, during the year last year in the great 119 win season, you know, there were issues, but, you know, they bring in Brazier and they kind of, he hit, you know, like, who's this guy? Well, he pitched pretty well for them. Evaldi, they got more than they thought, a guy who'd pitched for, you know, everybody in the division, it seemed like. So those guys kind of hit. What they did in the postseason, they were like, don't worry, we'll figure it out. And they used starters. I mean, I think there were 13 appearances by the starting pitchers.
They were the best relief pitchers. Yep, Danny, 100%. Their best relievers were starters.
And that's not a sustainable model for the regular season. You can do that in the postseason with the days off, the rotations, and guys just saying, hey, we're going for it now. We don't care about November. And they pulled it off. Every guy was, you know, Price was huge out of the bullpen. And you all remember Kimbrel lost his job, and Sale was the closer in Game 5 and got the last three outs. So that's not a model for the next season. And then when Kelly leaves and Kimbrel leaves, and they just kind of was like, I talked to Dave too much about it in spring training. I'm like, you haven't fixed this. He's like, well, we'll figure it out kind of thing. And they figured it out in the playoffs, but they couldn't figure it out during the year. And it started off that being the problem. And then, of course, ultimately it was the starting pitchers who were the problem.
You know, we're talking to Dan Shaughnessy, the great columnist, one of the great sports columnists left in the United States of America. Danny, I can remember a column in the long ago, and you may remember too, from our friend Lee Motville, who had the space that you have now before you did. And he was talking about the Red Sox and the Yankees, obviously way before the Red Sox became what they have become in this century. And the column was like this, you know, we are April and May. They are September and October.
Yeah.
Do you remember it? We are this. They are that. So this is, Dan, this is a long way around for me to ask you this. Yes, the Yankees have a winning season every year. The Yankees seem to contend in some form or fashion every year, even though I saw it again today and it shocked me that they have not won the American League East in 7 years. Okay. But if you're a Red Sox fan, and even facing, say, a third-place finish this year after a last-place finish after World Series, you would trade anything to have these World Series teams if you're going to suffer some pain in between.
Oh, yeah. They'll do it. And that's always the fallback. And they haven't, you know, they can't do the Cub thing. They can't lose 100 and bottom out. I mean, that's not excusable.
Right.
But I think that they've had the roller coaster, especially in the last 10 years. They finished last three times in 4 years in the middle of winning a couple of World Series. So that's not good. But in none of those years were they expected to finish last. There was no hopelessness at the start of the season. It was just things, you know, the Bobby Vesey year and all that sort of stuff went down around. But they've always been, when they get to April, there's always expectation they're going to contend. And they've been steady with that. There's just been years that they didn't.
How much, Dan, how much concern, because I've heard this from inside the organization, I'm sure you have too, was there about the way the farm system has been gutted? Is it true that Dombrowski had to be talked out of including Devers way back when in a proposed sale trade?
I don't know that. I mean, we've all heard that, and you never quite, I'm not sure of that. You know, Dave's not about draft and development. You know, we understand that. You already cited his bullpen woes. And I mean, the reason that 2013 won the World Series was because Dave Dombrowski didn't build a bullpen for the 2013 Tigers. I mean, that team had Scherzer, they had Verlander, they had Cabrera, Triple Crown, they had all this stuff. And they're ahead, you know, one game to nothing. They're going to go up 2-0 in Fenway. They're up 5-1 in the eighth inning. and some bums out there pitching to David Ortiz, and David hits a grand slam, and then the thing flipped the other way, and the Red Sox end up in that World Series. So it's been Dombrowski's flaw, you know, from the get-go. The farm system, the one thing I'll say for him is most of the people he got rid of, I mean, you know, Mancada's doing okay with the White Sox, but there haven't been a lot of Jeff Bagwells where they traded a superstar, a guy who went on to have this great career. So far, that hasn't happened, and he parted with bodies to get Kimbrel in here, to get Sale in here, that sort of thing. But the draft and development has just been non-existent. The farm system, there's just nobody down there, and that was one thing. Boy, I'll tell you, for all the Theo stuff, I mean, this whole core is Theo Epstein. I mean, they're all you know, Bogarts, Bradley, you know, Vasquez, you know, Barnes. They're all brought here by Theo Epstein and Mookie Betts, and that's what's not going to be there for the next guy.
The Boston Globe's Dan Shaughnessy is our guest on the Mike Lupica podcast. More of our conversation right after this from MyBookie.
Thanks, Mike. Regardless of what you're most excited for this NFL season, nothing is more thrilling than supporting your favorite team with a little money down on MyBookie.ag. MyBookie is the premier place to bet on college and pro football every weekend. They have every money line, spread, and over-under that you could possibly think of. If all your friends are picking winners and making money, why aren't you? Don't miss out on the action with MyBookie.ag. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet this football season, bet with MyBookie. Did you know you could bet on games after kickoff? If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side. And if you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. And no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year. So here's what we want you to do. Join now, and MyBookie will double your first deposit. You got to use the promo code MLUPICA to activate the offer. That promo code is MLUPICA. So what are you waiting for? Visit MyBookie.ag today. Don't forget to use the promo code MLUPICA. MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. Mike, back to you.
Was Ben Cherington just too patient for John Henry? Yeah. Did he not feel enough of a sense of urgency from him after things went sideways after the 13 World Series?
That's a good word. I mean, very deliberate, very methodical, and a little flatline. But he also threw money around the way Dombrowski did, and there was some, you know, Ruznay Castillo's on him. I mean, you know, a guy, I don't know, 80, 100 million and never played in the big leagues. And, you know, the bidding.
They're going to love him in Worcester, though, Dan. They're going to love him in Worcester.
And he gets stuck with, you know, Sandoval and Hanley go on his thing. So there's some, you know, he was happy to throw their money around. One thing John Henry hates is wasting his money. And eventually that comes down on your head.
Do you think, I mean, it's folly to speculate at this point. I know that Eddie Romero is a hot name. Do you think that there's any, is Mike Hazen, I know they're very fond of Mike Hazen, and we're sorry to see him go. Is there any chance that they go back to the future and see if they can get him away from the Diamondbacks?
If you want to go back to the future, how about calling Theo? I mean, that's the first call.
I think I saw that suggested in Mr. Shaughnessy's column.
You know, I think Theo Epstein will end his career with the Red Sox. I just don't think it's going to be next year. I think that's 10, 15 years away. At the end, I think he will be here. I think he wants to be here, but not now, and maybe not for these guys. I don't know. But in any event, I do think that call is made. I mean, I don't know what Billy Beane's status is. This will be big thinking out of the gate, in my view. But I think that ultimately, very likely to see Jed Hoyer. You know, I mean, he is the GM of the Cubs, but Theo's the boss there. And, you know, he certainly knows the landscape here. They know him. I mean, you know, the guy in Minnesota, Derek Falvey, you know, a guy like that, the guys that are in Tampa, you know, Hazen, who you referenced, they'll all be looked at.
The young guy in Tampa, Eric Neander's great. I mean, they just go on and on and on with the Rays. Okay, so that leads me to my next question. Can this be fixed between September 10th today and March 28th of next year?
I think there's still enough here for them to contend. They certainly, they have the manpower of the Tampa Bay Rays, you know, who they're 8 or 9 games behind. And you know, you just don't know year to year. If you looked last year where the Sox and Yanks were and look what the Yanks have done to them this year, I just think that they are still built to win now. And again, the window on specifically Price and Sale, they just have to be kind of fingers crossed there with that Evaldi same thing. And that's going to strap them because J.D. Martinez has an opt-out. Mookie Betts, they have to decide if they're going to trade him or not. He's in his last year. These are the huge things that the new guy is going to have to deal with, in addition to trying to compete with the Yankees when you aren't as good and you've taken some hits in personnel. And if they have to trade Mookie Betts, that's a big hit. If JD opts out, that's a big hit.
Dan, is this in any way reactive to the way that the Yankees do seem to be set up for the next 5 years? To me, this has been as compelling a Yankee regular season as there has been since they won 114 in 1998 because of the injuries they've overcome. They've done this with one home run so far from Giancarlo Stanton. Yeah. And if they had a do-over on that, he would not be in pinstripe. But Cashman has got the mix of young and old and farm system and bullpen in the modern world. And I just wonder, I don't think it was a coincidence that this all came down with Dombrowski. I think it was going to happen eventually after another beatdown from the 2019 Yankees.
Yeah, everything's seen through the prism of what they're doing. No question about that. I mean, don't forget, John was a 1% partner with George Steinbrenner of the Yankees. And I mean, even with Lucchino being on the outside, it's still very much there. That's who they measure themselves against. And clearly, they need to do some work in this area. So I think that never goes away for them. I would agree with that.
One more question about the Red Sox. I'm talking to Dan Shaughnessy again, my friend and one of the great columnists in America. What's the mood of the electorate right now about what has happened to the defending champs of the baseball world?
Well, I mean, and I know we're going to get to the Patriots, and that'll explain a lot of this. But I mean, just they're worried about irrelevance at a time when, you know, I mean, they always fill Fenway Park, and, you know, it's the ballpark's the star, the old mantra there, and people want to get into Fenway, and it's a jewel. All those things are true, and they have the highest payroll in baseball, and the tickets are bought early. So, but late in the season here, they're really fighting for irrelevance because the Patriots are obviously on the way to this looks like an epic season, and the TV ratings, as predicted, the Sunday night beatdown from last week when they were both on national TV on Sunday night was, I don't know, 36-2 or some right. Horrible Nielsen number, whatever those things are. So I think they're just trying to stay in the conversation. And you know, on podcasts like yours and on sports talk radio and local TV panel shows, it's so Patriot-driven now. They're you know, trending on being irrelevant. And they want to get people talking about them again over the winter and looking forward to the spring. And they'll be able to do that. But, last week, I mean, it was a clown show to have the GM fired on Sunday night while people are still trying to talk to Antonio Brown down in Foxborough. And it's 12:07 after midnight, and, oh, they just fired the GM. And then the next day, ownership is not available to talk to the media. And you've got the New York media in town. Don't forget, the Yankee media was still here on Monday when all this fallout was coming down. And it's embarrassing to not have anyone from ownership come out front. They make Alex Cora speak for 22 minutes about the firing of Dave Dombrowski. Hideous situation. And then they roll out David Ortiz, the great fallback of all time. Oh, Big Poppy's back. You know, paid no attention to this curtain over here. Look at Big Poppy. Yay. You know, and people are not stupid here. And that violates a lot of their sense of shamelessness in this case and you know, hiding out. And people don't like cowardly acts, and that's how that was perceived. So they've got some work to do.
And a reminder that today's episode of the Mike Lubica Podcast with Dan Shaughnessy is being sponsored, as always, by GEICO. Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to GEICO.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It just may be the most rewarding to-do you do today. Obviously, it was not for nothing that Dick Schaap once called New York City Fun City. And I have had nights in my career like you had the other night with the old Mets where something happened. There was a fire to be put out every day. We were leaving the clubhouse one day, and I forget who had popped off. And as we're leaving, Mookie Wilson wanted to announce that he wanted to be traded. And I actually went over to him and I said, don't want to be traded today. Could you just wait and want to be traded tomorrow? Because we have enough to write about today. All right, so that's a segue.
Go any further, the segue I'm going to lead into, it's always about us, which you just referenced. That's what it's about when we're out there on the beat. And I had two of those days, Saturday and Sunday, because I'm over at Fenway for the 4 o'clock start with the Red Sox Yankees. And, you know, a page one story on the Patriots open tomorrow, yeah, nice. And then let's see what we can make out of this Red Sox thing. And Antonio Brown dropped at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, which for the Sunday paper, as you know, is significant.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the next day, after midnight, Dave Dombrowski gets fired while we're in Foxborough. So anyway, on to your transition, on to your skillful transition.
Okay. When I found out that Brown had been released on Saturday,
yeah,
and I am not alone in this, it wasn't like I was out on some limb, I tweeted the following: Antonio, say hello to Coach Belichick, okay? Yeah. And for conspiracy theorists, Shaughnessy, I believe this may have been the end game all along with Antonio Brown and Drew Rosenhaus. And so I read your column about Brown. I will not attempt to paraphrase. You can tell what you wrote about and what you actually feel about this move.
Well, just on so many levels, but I mean, to the last point about the clear tampering and corruption, collusion, whatever you want to call it. I mean, if I were the Oakland Raiders, I don't know what the recourse is, and I know they only gave up draft picks for this, and he didn't want to play there, and all the clown antics that went on, but I would just be so angry about the speed with which, you know, he agreed to terms with New England, and the fact that 1 minute after his release, it was already out there.
Right.
I'd want to know what went on. I want phone records. I want to sue them. I want to go after them. This is not okay. But, you know, hey, it's the Patriots. It's the league. Everybody does this in the NBA. We all know that the deal is, and nobody cares about tampering anymore, et cetera. But that flies in the face of just my sense of sports and fairness, which at this age I still have and no one's supposed to have, I understand. And then the whole notion that the Patriots do not give a crap about team above self, and this whole the phony Patriot way notion, which you will never hear from Bill Belichick, by the way. He has never positioned himself as Hoosiers, you know, Jimmy Chitwood, any of that stuff. He's not selling that. That comes from ownership. You know, we're all Patriots and we do things differently. We go for character guys and all this bull crap, as Bill repeatedly goes and gets at Ocho Cinco and Albert Hainsworth and Corey Dillon, Randy Moss, and of course now the denouement here with Mr. Crazy. So it's just it's disappointing to me that they just trash any value about team, and it's all about talent over character. And I don't like it. I don't root for it. Knock yourselves out, you know. But I just I can't support it.
Dan Shaughnessy is our guest on the Mike Lubica podcast. Much more with Dan in a moment. But first, this from Kronos. Kronos knows that many organizations maintaining a modern workforce of hourly, full, and part-time workers, for them, it can be a challenge. This is especially true for human resources professionals working hard to attract and retain all the best talent. That's why Kronos puts HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping on a single cloud-based platform. It's one specially designed to give HR professionals supporting a blended workforce a whole new level of confidence. With it, they have everything they need to tackle nearly any human resources challenge and are empowered to not just find and hire the right people, but to engage, motivate, and reward them every single step of the way. Learn more about Kronos HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them, because Kronos is at heart a people business, at kronos.com/HR swagger. Kronos, workforce innovation that works. Let's go all the way back to the beginning. And I tell you this, I've always gotten along with Bill Belichick from the time he was Parcells' top sergeant. Okay.
Yep.
And the spring before last, I watched a spring training game with him up in Jupiter. And but here's the thing. How do people think he ended up with the Patriots in the first place? Okay. There's no way on the planet that he keeps the Jets job for one day if he doesn't know that the Patriots gig is waiting for him. And I always said he did the right thing because he needed to get out of Parcells' shadow.
Yeah.
Once and for all. Okay. So I believe career-wise, he made the right move by going to the Patriots. But in that 48 hours, does anybody on the planet doubt that there was tampering went on?
Sure.
That he said, if you can get out of this, if you'll take the short-term hip, you're going to get a long-term contract with us.
Yep. No, that's a good point. And then, you know, that wasn't really raised this week when all the stuff went down. And I think that now I have time to go put that in there. Thanks there, Mike. I'll get that in for the Miami game this weekend.
No, I've always, we'll never be able to prove it. But it defies logic that he would. I mean, I was there that day at Hofstra, Dan. When I'm resigning as the HC of the NYJ. It was, little did I know that I was watching the guy who would become the greatest football coach of all time. All of your complaints about the Patriots are completely legitimate. And we haven't even talked about Spygate and Deflategate and all that stuff, okay? And massage parlors in Florida, all that stuff, okay? But God almighty, sometimes you have to take a step back and realize that in all the important ways, in the modern world of sports, there has never been anything like this in professional sports. The partnership between Kraft, Belichick, and Brady, Danny, nothing like this is ever going to happen again.
No, it's impossible. Yep, I would sign on to that. 20 years, are you kidding me? And, it's been great continuity, and it's worked magically for them. And it's weird that it's here at the end or whatever, whenever the end is, but this has a chance to be almost as good as it's ever been, and we're 20 years in. So it's not like it's fizzling out here at the end.
And we can look back, and yes, the Seahawks called that play, and yes, Tyree pinned the ball to Saints. So you can look at all sorts of endings, okay? I mean, when they're playing the Eagles, two years ago, when they get the ball back, did anybody on the planet think that the ending was going to be what it was? Brady's going to take them down the field, and they're going to win the Super Bowl again. And I said to somebody yesterday, on the opening day of the NFL season, when so much happened, okay, the headliner was a 42-year-old quarterback. And sometimes you can't process how old this guy is.
Right. Well, I think that the league is going to see more of that. We've got Drew Brees at 40, going to be able to do the same thing. And the way they've changed the rules and the way Tom takes care of himself and the way they design the offense, it's almost irrelevant. And it's not the old three-step drop, stand there, and expose yourself to all the hairy linemen coming in and killing you. So yeah, they've got this thing figured out in a big way. And Tom's right when he talks about he could play till 44, 45, whatever, in this system. And so could Drew Brees and other guys. But yeah, we're seeing this for the first time now. This is not George Blanda kind of dragging his leg out there. This is a guy who's still, the best player in the game on Sunday Night Football in the opener against the Steelers. So And I don't think we'll see the success, the sustained success. I mean, we'll all be dead. It's just impossible. We're not going to see it.
Dan, you have seen the whole show from
yep.
Belichick and Brady. And I don't think I've ever asked you this or talked to you about this before. Do you like Brady?
Well, yeah. It's hard not to like Tom Brady. He's very polite. He's a baseball guy. And he's, I think he's, says the right things. He's careful. I liked him more before. I liked him more in the first 10 years than the last 10 years. The whole thing was a little more endearing then. It just feels really polished and corporate and kind of giselled up now, which doesn't make him a bad guy.
And what about Coach on to Cincinnati? Because to me, there is
he's
never...
my favorite. He's my favorite of the three. I mean, that's the one I want to drive cross country with. Out of Brady, Kraft, Belichick. And I think that the separation of him from his peers is greater than with the other two. I mean, he is to coaching like just so far above at this point, and late in life. It gets worse every week. I mean, we still got Mike Tomlin going for a field goal when it's 20-0. To make sure, it's 8 more field goals, he's ahead. And it was just amazing, like the stupid pills that they all take every week. And hey, Bill's had his moments, but it's like 8-10 points a game going in, just the coaching disparity. So yeah, I know what he's doing with his press things, and I don't engage in that. I understand, he's not going to give one more thing than is court mandated, and he sees no competitive advantage, so he won't do it, and he hates the league and all that stuff. But man, oh man, I just think what they do, and McDaniels is part of it, Ernie Adams is a big part of it. I mean, there's been a good support all the time too. But I think that he's really got it going, and it's got to be really enjoyable to be 67 years old and be this much better than everybody else at what you do.
It's funny. Christopher Lubica, my oldest, sent me the clips, and he was screaming laughing when we talked about it. They asked Belichick the other day if he was excited about the start.
Yeah, I like football.
He sounded like Brett Kavanaugh. I like beer. but you know, Dan, it's if you can, if I, it's I tell people all the time, and I'm not a buddy of his or anything. I just have known him for a long time. When Peyton Manning was getting ready to play the Seahawks in the Super Bowl in Jersey, I called Stace James at the Patriots, and I said, listen, everybody talks about Brady versus Manning. That was never the rivalry. The rivalry was Belichick versus Manning because he had to prepare for him across all those years. And Bill and I talked for a column. We probably talked for 40 minutes on the phone. I probably contributed about 3 minutes to that thing. And all of the football in him came out. Okay. All of the coach's sonness of him came out. It was one of the most enjoyable interviews just listening. And I wasn't even taping. I was taking notes. And you know, he went into a thing on cadences. He said, Mike, I'd watch him against San Diego in week 3, and he'd run this play, and the cadence would be this. And then a week later, it would be the exact. And I'm thinking, Oh my God, this is why this guy, the joy of having this conversation was so clear and present. And I'm thinking he's never going to show you that when he stands at the podium and says on to Cincinnati. But Dan, he is a fascinating figure.
Oh, absolutely. There's so much in there, and he chooses not to yield it. The one cracks that the beat guys get who are rewarded on, like, Fridays. And when the hay's in the barn, on Fridays he'll teach football. And Parcells did that, but, you know, he was more engaging all week. But they like to teach football at the end of the week when everything's done. And if you go there, you know, go ask him about the Army-Navy game if you want a couple hours, you know, someday, you know, in late November, anytime. He loves to talk about football. He's a historian, and it means a lot to him. That's why when he does, you know, pass and, you know, coming up on Shuler and passing Halas and all this stuff, it means a lot to him. I mean, he's wearing the George Halas hat in a plane. You know, come on, he's noticing all these things.
Dan Shaughnessy is our guest on the Mike Lupica podcast. Much more with Dan in a moment. But again, let me tell you about Keeps. You ever hear a guy say he's not afraid of anything except maybe losing his hair? Well, then, if you're in that boat, you got to sign up for Keeps. If you don't know, Keeps is the best way to treat hair loss. The process is simple. First, you or your doctor choose the right treatment plan, which is FDA approved, by the way. Next, you set up your Keeps treatment to arrive at your home, which is half the cost at your local pharmacy, and you don't have to stand in line. Keeps arrives at your door like clockwork every 3 months. Lastly, you stay in control by easily tracking the progress on how you are keeping your hair. You can adjust or cancel your plan at any time. It's important to know that prevention is key, and that Keeps is a 90% effective at reducing and stopping further hair loss. The sooner you start, the more hair you save. Also, many men are starting to regrow their hair with Keeps. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/lupica to receive your first month of treatment for free. With their online quote doctor visit, you answer simple questions to get the exact right treatment for you. They'll have you send them pictures so you know exactly what they plan to put you on. It's that easy. It's all done online from your home. That's keeps.com/Lupica. You know, it's funny too, because I think he and Parcells are better now. I think there was a long time when their relationship became extremely complicated. But boy, you can see Parcells' influence on him. And, you know, I quote Parcells probably more than anybody that I've ever known. You know, that you are what your record says you are, and on and on and on. But he, one of his big mantras, Dan, was this: it is not your job to take your team's temperature for the media every single day. And boy, oh boy, has Belichick followed that.
Yeah, that's exactly. He hasn't said it in those words, but that's the way he behaves every day.
And, you know, obviously I read you and I've read you for a long time. You are, How do I put this? You're at war with the chattering Patriot class. Is that a fair way to for me to interpret what I read from Shaughnessy about? Because according to you, Dan, and you're obviously right about this, there's a lot of Kool-Aid drinking in the media associated with the New England Patriots.
Yes, that's what we call the Patriots media cartel, if you would. And, you know, hey, it's all fun here. It's just... You know, you and I have seen it evolve from, you know, we got into this and it was, there was sort of a cynical eye cast upon everything, and I've maintained that. But it's evolved in the last 20 years to, you know, fan journalism and fans writing for fans. And I understand that, you know, Bill Simmons started that, and now that's sort of the model now. And so younger people, the expectation is that you're on with the team and you want them to win and you're cheerleading for them and you write, as like I said, fans for fans. And I mean, there's websites all over the place for that, but I'm not going to supply that. And you know, when I say that the AFC East sucks and there's all this pushback and, oh, they come back with these numbers to demonstrate otherwise. No, throw these numbers at me.
No, it sucks.
It does suck, you know, and it has. I mean, who's the second best quarterback in the AFC East for the last 20 years? I don't know, Ryan Tannehill, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't know. It's like you've seen a 20-year reign of stupidity and you know, new coaches, new quarterbacks from three franchises. And it's the Jets are by far the best of the other three when you look at what's happened in the last 20 years. I mean, no playoff wins for Buffalo. Miami, I think, has one. It's 20 years. And again, who are the best coaches and quarterbacks? It is a rogues gallery of nitwits in the AFC East. So
no, you know who the best coach they faced was? Bill Parcells when he was with the Jets.
Yeah,
that's
of course.
Dan, it's a fact. And guess who? It's a little outside of 20 years, but just by a tick. You know who the best season, who had the best season as a quarterback in that division?
Vinny Testaverde.
You bet your ass. People always say, who's the best quarterback for the Jets since Namath? I say, you're not going to believe this, but it was Vinny Testaverde, who I think was 29 touchdown passes and 7 interceptions. Yeah. They went to the championship game. The next year, he blew out his Achilles, and that was that.
Yeah, Bill taught him to just pull the ball down and take the sack and stop trying to do things. And he stayed within himself, what it were, and they got to the AFC Championship. I was around for a little bit of that. Those were fun days.
So you didn't see, Dan, you didn't see anything on last Sunday that scared you from the East?
It was so perfect because, I mean, when two of them play each other, there has to be a winner or a tie. But you know, you had the Jets get 4 turnovers in their favor in the first half and score 6 points. Amazing. Somehow lose the game. And then Miami loses 100-0, and everybody wants to quit the team. I mean, it's like, here we go again. This is amazing.
I called a Jets fan I know during the game, and I said, are your guys aware that this game actually counts? Because they're and then I like the quarterback. I think the kid's going to be a player. And he had every opportunity to take. All he needed was a field goal. Well, of course, they were never going to kick a field goal. Oh, my God. I mean, if you had the Pillsbury kickoff between the Bears and the Jets, wouldn't that be something to see? I tweeted on Sunday that the Jets were frantically trying to get Carly Lloyd's phone number.
I saw that. Yeah.
All right. Dan, you wrote a column. I got a few more minutes with my friend Dan Shaughnessy. You wrote a terrific column about being an older sports writer that got a lot of pickup around the country. And I want to ask you two things. One, were you surprised at the response? And two, what made you actually want to write it?
Well, you know, we get a little bit more introspective as we get older, Mike, some of us here. And I just, you know, in the middle of the dead of summer, you're always looking for topics because things tend to flatten out a little bit. So it was one of those summer days. And I don't know what, probably jogging around the neighborhood and said, yeah, you know, I should do that. So, and you know, I think I called Monfil. I remember because I was trying to find the derivative of the first guy to say, you know, it's time to get out when you're older than the oldest player. I thought it might have been Lee Monfil. He remembered it, but he wasn't sure that he authored it. And I like those kinds of things, and I was surprised. My readership tends to be older, the people who at least like me, who don't hate me, and so there was a lot of support for that. But I think in the dark underbelly of the millennials, there was probably a lot of, you know, mocking and hatred, and I understand that too. So yeah, it was I was pleased with it. And but again, I started calling my kids like you would do, and I'm like, what are the old guy things that I demonstrate here? You know, like, well, you have quarters in your car, you know, you have a CD player with clock radio on your desk, you know, it just, you don't know how to reply all, you know, just all the things.
I walked into that the other day. Oh, I got to tell this. Wait, I have to tell this because I had misplaced Dan's phone number because I'm like him. Okay. So I direct messaged him. It was the most paranoid response. No, don't make me do this because I tried to do this one time. Tell what happened when you tried to do it.
Well, I was trying to reach one of the TV guys here, Danny Roach. He had sent me a nice thing on a direct tweet, and I wanted to answer him and thank him and ask him to call me. And so I tried to convey that, but I sent it to 85,000 followers. Yeah. And fortunately, didn't put my cell phone number on there. So I still do not know how to answer your direct tweet directly and avoid the other 85,000 haters. So I don't answer direct tweets because only bad things can happen.
I just felt it was so odd that I liked that column so much. And then I kind of wandered into a straight right hand from you by asking you for a direct message in return. No, I know exactly what you're talking about. I went back to writing Shooting for the Lip in the Sunday News just because I kind of still like doing it, you know?
One of my young editors reading that column said, "Why do you keep writing italic here before and after this word in parentheses? Why don't you just put it in italics?" I said, "Because I don't know how to do that either. I'm just telling the desk to make it in italics." So anyway, there was a little bit of a meta back to that thing, and you did fall into it with your direct tweet.
I did fall into it. But it you know, the quality of your work obviously has not diminished at all, and it seems to me that as much of a pain in the ass as things like last weekend are, that when you sit down and you are on deadline as much as we have deadlines and anymore, you still remember why you wanted to do this in the first place.
Yeah, and I mean, we're blessed here in New England. It's the high renaissance, right? In this century, you know, 18 championship events, 12 parades. I mean, that's just, nobody gets to do that. So, and we have fans who read and care, and all the smart young people in our colleges and the teams in every sport, and big money donors who spend, it's the best environment to do what we do. And you and I have lived it and, you know, blessed years. And I still get fired up for that. And I want to keep going. But you know, when you think you got it figured out, that's when it's time to go. So we'll just stay on edge for a little bit longer.
Yeah, I mean, Dan and I have had this conversation before. I have three sons, and they have made me so much better at just observing sports because they taught me very early on, and I've used this line, and I think I've said it to Shaughnessy. They think the good old days are now. And so if you want to glaze their eyes, you can tell them about Willie Mays and Michael Jordan, because I think it's, you know, someday Michael Jordan will be Willie Mays and he'll be that far in the rearview mirror. But you know, like Kyrgios, the tennis player, they love him. And so I had to take a step back and say, yeah, I know the guy pisses me off, but there must be some reason why my young sons like watching this guy play tennis. And as for the old sports writer thing, Dan, it happened to me like 1,000 years ago. I came home one day and I said to Taylor Lupica, "I just realized something when Buck Showalter got the job at the Yankees." And she said, "What?" I said, "I'm now older than the manager of the New York Yankees."
Yeah.
And boy, that was a life change. Yeah. Hey, man, I love reading you still, and I know it's a pain in the ass to talk this much, but it took me way too long to have you on, and I hope I can and throw you in the rotation and have call you back every couple of months.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. Just call me anytime. Just don't direct tweet me.
The great Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe. The fun of doing this is conversations like these. I get to talk to who I want to talk to. We do it twice a week now, so there's a reason why they want us to do this twice a week. Continue to download, subscribe, rate us, leave comments, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and enjoy this podcast across the weekend. I'll talk to you next week, everybody.
The Mike Lupica Podcast is produced and distributed by Compass Media Networks in conjunction with Hiltzik Creative. For iPhone users, go to the podcast app and search the Mike Lupica Podcast. Click on the Mike Lupica Podcast icon and subscribe. For non-iPhone users, you can listen on Google Play Music, TuneIn, Stitcher, or your preferred podcast platform.